Good day, friends. We come into your family circle with a program of Bible truth. We've been discussing for the last 7 weeks the subject, Messages of Life, and we trust it has been a period of living according to God's will in your mind, and we trust in your life. And if you haven't become a Christian, you've been listening to this series, we simply ask you, why haven't you been born again? You know, when I ask that question, you can't give me a reason based upon good for not being a Christian. Salvation, of course, is behold now the day of salvation. It's something that must be looked upon our obedience as being something that is in the present. The days that are past and gone cannot be recalled, and the days that lie ahead can be uncertain. The only way we can make our life stronger than a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away is to add the spiritual stability that can offer unto us the answer to the question of life. We want to close this series today by dealing with the miracle of birth, which is an entrance into a life and of light. You know, I do want to say that we want to thank the brethren who have made this series possible. If you want the outlines, feel free to address a card or letter to the congregation that brought you this series, and to the station that is presenting it at this time, and it'll eventually get back to us, and we'll send you an outline of the subjects without cost or obligation. I do want to say that when we look at the miracle of birth on the broadcast today, we're looking at an entrance from, we might say, an uncertain state into a state that has a certain amount of stability, but actually is the entrance into a world and to a life that is better. In the 3rd chapter of John, Jesus opened this subject, and I doubt if the subject of the new birth is ever discussed without reference being made to the conversation that Christ had with Nicodemus. Let's briefly notice this as a prelude to what we have to offer. Beginning with verse 1 in this very outstanding 3rd chapter of John, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's Jesus the Christ speaking. I am sure that he speaks with authority in his word to us today. So it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is open-minded here. He wants to know how this is possible. Verse 4 says, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He was talking about physical things. Now, what Jesus is talking about is not a physical action, is not a physical birth. For in verse 5, he explains what he meant in verse 3 when he said that one must be born again by saying, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now the question becomes a problem in the minds of many people, because I suppose there have been as many dissertations written upon what it means to be born of the water and of the Spirit as about anything in the Bible, and these do not all agree. The Word of God, I believe, is plain here, but you know we're going to have to do like Philip did when he was preaching to the Ethiopian in the wilderness there. We're going to have to start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. The greatest fault I would find, and this is a personal remark, certainly with no reflection upon the intelligence or the honesty of one who might differ with what I'm offering, but it seems to me that when people refer to this scripture in the 3rd chapter of John, then when they begin explaining it, they approach it from a theological standpoint. They approach it from the standpoint, we might say, of human wisdom. If Jesus in the Word of God has told us that we must be born again, and it must be a birth of the water and the Spirit, this is going to bring us from the power of darkness. This is going to bring us into light. It's going to bring us into a position where we can have life eternal. So the new birth is a message of life. It's a message of hope. But you see, the Lord wouldn't give us this teaching here and then not tell us what it means to be born of the water and the Spirit elsewhere in the Bible. He doesn't leave us in that dark. We told you on the broadcast last time that the entrance of his words will give light. They will give understanding to the simple or to the unlearned. So we expect to stay with the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to simply say that I'll let you make up your own mind whether people that we refer to on this broadcast today from the Bible were born of the water and the Spirit or not. Now, I am sure that you have a respect for the Word of God. I'm sure you have a respect for a message of life. This new birth brings us from a power of darkness. It brings us into the kingdom of His dear Son, according to Colossians 1 and 13. It delivers us from that power of sin, the clutches of death, and it offers an opportunity for a life here, leading to a life eternal. You know, the Apostle Peter, who had a lot to say about the new birth, associated it very definitely with the Word of God. First of all, he said in 2 Peter 1 and 3 that his divine power, which I'm sure most students of the Bible understand to be the Holy Spirit, the divine power of God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So there's a point that proves again that in the Word of God we'll have an actual picture of what it means to be born of the water and the Spirit. The Word of God is very closely associated, we've already said, in 1 Peter 1 and 23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not alone does the Word of God make it possible for us to be born again, including that birth of water and the Spirit, but it makes it possible for us to go on to life eternal. Now, the accounts of conversion that are found in the book of Acts is the best approach from a Bible standpoint that I know of to show what it means to be born again, to be born of the water and the Spirit. And I find that in the cases of these accounts of conversion, that we put the composite picture together and we find there are five things that certainly are included in this whole span of these people who were sinners, these people who needed the gospel, everything from murderers to good moral individuals, to people who were undoubtedly pagans, just about any span in life that we could think of. Well, they all heard the word. We're sure they believed it. We are certain they repented or turned from their sins. They must have confessed with their mouth that they believed Christ as the Son of God. And they were baptized, immersed in water, in a likeness of Jesus' death, to be raised in a likeness of His resurrection. Now the great question comes as those accounts of conversion unfold. When you read an account of conversion, would you conclude that those people had been born again? If you do, then they truly had to be born of the water and the Spirit, as Jesus taught so clearly in John chapter 3 and verse 5. How about the people at Pentecost? Well, they were told in Acts 2:38, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When it says in Acts 2:41, then they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We ask ourselves the question, were these approximately 3,000 people, were they born again or were they not born again? If they were not born again, then pray tell me, what was their condition spiritually? What did they need more in their life to be born again? If they were born again, then they were born again of the water and the Spirit. They came from the power of darkness. They came into marvelous light. They were on their way to eternal life. Also, the counting in the 8th chapter of Acts of the Samaritan people, men and women in verse 12 of chapter 8, they believed this word, and they were baptized. Simon the sorcerer, in the 13th verse of that 8th chapter, believed the word and was baptized. Now they all heard the word preached. They certainly must have turned to the Lord. And according to the third account of conversion in chapter 8 of Acts, namely the conversion of the Ethiopian on the way from Jerusalem to Gaza, he heard the word, and after hearing the gospel, he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without hesitation, they commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both in the water. Both Philip and the man from Ethiopia immersed him. When he came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Well, see, he made a confession of faith. I'm sure this was true in the other accounts. Were these Samaritan people, the men and women of that 8th chapter, were the indication of Simon, is the indication of the Ethiopian, were these people born again? If they were, they were born of the water and the Spirit. In closing, I'd simply like to say that the evidence of the Spirit is found here in all these conversions. Also, Cornelius, Saul of Tarsus, the Philippian jailer, Lydia of Thyatira, and the Corinthians of chapter 18. These people received a spiritual teaching, and we understand they were baptized into Christ. The evidence of water and Spirit is there. We leave the evidence with you in this message of life. It's been good to be with you. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast, and be with us next time as we begin a new series. It'll all be Bible. Thus saith the Lord. May God bless us as we obey His marvelous and His wonderful truth.